All right. Well, here's a premise for you in this faltering economy. A, the government is desperate to create jobs. B, most jobs come from small businesses. Ergo, the government should support small business, right? That's what we should conclude. But that's proven hard to do in practice. And why is that? And why should the government, what should the government be doing to create jobs if not stoking small business? Everybody seems to think that that's the way to do things. Josh Lerner has some ideas about this. He teaches at Harvard Business School and he joins us from his offices there. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning. Nice to hear from you.
Nice to hear from you, too. Michael Glass is also here. He's co-founder and technical officer of Reducify. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
He might actually, Michael, you might be the kind of small business person the Obama administration should be reaching out to, but I'm not quite sure. We got to get to the bottom of this with the expert, Josh Lerner. So, Josh, let me turn to you. The one thing that Congress managed to do before going home for the midterms was pass a so-called jobs bill. It had billions in loan guarantees for small businesses to loosen up credit, and it also had new tax write-offs for things like buying new equipment and new business investments. What's wrong with that?
Well, the problem is not so much that small businesses aren't good. We all love small businesses. The problem is that if we really want job creation and a job creation through entrepreneurship, we're somehow looking under, we're turning over the wrong rock. Because when you look at the studies, and particularly a very influential recent study by John Haltenwanger, Ron Jarman, and Javi Miranda, it shows that jobs aren't really created by small businesses. Instead, they're created by new businesses. And in particular, when you look at the job creation, essentially a small business, which is 30 years old, is no more likely to create jobs than a large business that's 30 years old.
All right, but
a business that's under a decade old.
I'm sorry, go ahead. Finish your thought. I apologize.
A business that's under a decade old is a huge job creator.
Right. Well, I jumped in there because I want to turn to the president, because I think you might be committing a little bit of public policy blasphemy here. Listen to the president.
Now, this is important because small businesses produce most of the new jobs in this country.
Small businesses, you say, are only so-so job creators, but to hear it in Washington, Josh, you might as well be saying you hate apple pie.
Absolutely. For some reason, the small businesses have captured this thing. But the problem is, I mean, we can all love small businesses, but the problem is the policies which are being done may make a lot of sense for small businesses, but they don't necessarily make sense for young businesses. And what I would much rather see is policies that target the young businesses, which are the real job creators.
All right, Michael Glass, you're a small business and you're a young business. Is that correct?
That's right.
Now, before we talk about we're going to talk about your business. What is Reducify? What do you do?
So we help consumers save money by using less electricity. We basically tell you the best things you can do when it comes to reducing your electricity usage.
Okay, you're a young business. Is it fair to classify you as a green business? Are you a newfangled green business?
Certainly. I think that there's a little bit of stigma around green, but we think everyone wants to save money, and we also want to save the world.
Okay, now, Josh Lerner, I was reading one of your articles, and you said that one of the things we do wrong in Washington, one of the things they do wrong, is they pick winners and losers, and we shouldn't be glomming on to this fashionable idea of green business. It doesn't necessarily make sense.
Well, what I would say is that certainly if you look at the track record, not just in the United States, but in a lot of other countries, that the exercise of going and sort of saying we're going to choose this sector or this area has not had a great deal of success. What I would much rather see is trying to go and address the real needs for businesses like Michael's, and in large part that need means a focus on creating ways for them to get equity financing.
What about it, Michael? What's the way for you to get equity financing? How are you going to grow?
So the way that a company like mine gets financed isn't going to be through the government regardless. I'm a big proporter of kind of money for green tech. As it turns out, my company doesn't fall into green tech because generally we don't do infrastructure, which is where a lot of the government funding for green goes. So the way that we go is we go to angel investors and we go to venture capitalists and we get private funding. Generally, the way that the government would help us is by making more private funding available. It would be hard, I think, for the government to fund us themselves simply because it's very difficult to do due diligence on a tiny, brand new company like our own.
That's Michael Glass, co-founder and chief technology officer of Reducify there in New York City. Now, Josh Lerner in Harvard, another thing that you say is that the government should be focusing on viable businesses, ones that have already raised some investor funds, some matching funds. That sounds like Michael Glass and Reducify.
Absolutely. I'm totally on the same page with Michael, which is to say that the process of the government actually going and handing out money to entrepreneurs, equity to entrepreneurs, is a real recipe for disaster because it's really hard to do, even in the best of circumstances. And, you know, while governments do many things right, this is not certainly one of their strong suits.
Right.
But I think that there is a lot of ways to encourage intermediaries, whether angels or venture groups, where the government can play a positive catalytic role and sort of give the money to the company, you know, encourage the money flowing into companies like Michael's and hopefully creating jobs as a result.
Get them to put up their cash. Well, Josh Lerner, I already called you a blasphemer, and I'm going to try to put that badge on you once again, because you say that small businesses are really only so-so at job creating. We've been hearing from a lot of our listeners at 8778MyTick. We've been asking small business owners around the country if they're hiring. Listen to a couple of our listeners.
This is Bonnie Zabin, AC Line in New York. We're a small business, and we're actually hiring, believe it or not. And we are recruiters in the digital media space, so our hiring means our clients are hiring.
This is Floyd DePalma from Nashville, Tennessee. I'm a small business owner, and we're hiring our first employee since we started up with our original five guys, so I'm excited about that.
Two small business owners, Josh Lerner, before we go, who are hiring?
Well, I think one thing you can say is that small businesses tend to do, when things are good, they tend to hire and more than others, and when things are bad, they tend to shrink more than others. But it's really that subset of the young and small people like Michael where it seems the bulk of the job creation comes from, even though it's not been the real focus of policy attention.
All right. If small businesses then are the canaries in the coal mine of the economy, you're saying we need to maybe nurture the eggs a little more in the chicks. Michael Glass, co-founder of technology and chief technology officer of Reducify. I think you're one of those chicks that Josh Lerner's talking about. He's an economist and researcher at the Harvard Business School. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We want to hear from small business owners, old and new ones. Tell us about any help you've been getting from the government and whether you need more of it and whether or not you're hiring or firing. Check in with us at call us at 8778MyTake. And another discussion that we've been having this morning is about the Medal of Honor. There have been only four recipients so far of the Medal of Honor from the war in Afghanistan. That is America's longest war. And we're wondering, what do you think about that? Have you served? Do you know someone who's received the medal by any chance? And can we fight a war with, as the Department of Defense says, very few opportunities for valor? Give us a call at 8778-MY-TAKE. And of course, as we head into the midterm elections, we're going to be talking politics all the time throughout November.
I'm not a witch.
That's Christine O'Donnell. We're going to be hearing more from her in the next few weeks. Give us a call on that or anything else at 8778-MY-TAKE. I'm Celeste Headlee.
I'm not a witch. I'm not a witch. But you are dressed as one. Oh, I can't wait to hear that some
Stop
more.
I'm Todd Zwillick. Get it over.
Todd Zwillick in for John Hockenberry. I'm not a witch either. It's The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.